everybody, and welcome to a spoiler session version of Nintendo Dads. My name is Zach Erickson, and we're going all in on The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. If you haven't played the game, if you haven't finished the game, turn around. We're going to talk spoilers. We're going to talk all of the characters' story moments. I don't think that this, like, there are a few story moments in this game that I think, I don't necessarily think that they're spoilery, but I think it's fun to experience the characters and the story by yourself. So, plus I think people just don't want to be spoiled, but hey, my name's Zach Erickson. Joining me is Jesse Waldack. What's going on, Jesse?
Pretty good. I was hoping to actually try to kill Ganon the second time to get to see the best ending, but I haven't gotten around to doing that yet, but I have killed Ganon once.
Nice. Right on. Joining me as well is Marty Estes from the Land of the South. What's going on, Marty?
Yeah!
Yep. I like it.
Sorry, I was jumping off an ice block in the middle of a lake.
No, like you do.
Yeah, like you do in Zelda.
Yeah. So this is, of course, a spoiler special. I said that already, but we are talking all about it. And I think to start off, where do we even start? I think.
Well, we did the last episode, and we went all the way up to the defeat of the first Divine Beast.
Right.
Which was the Zoras.
Right. And I actually wasn't on here when you guys did that. So I don't think I've done any spoiler talk about Zelda.
No.
Which also is interesting because I also have it's been the longest since I beat Zelda. And so
yeah, I think you were the first one to do it.
Yeah. And so looking through this, and let's real quick here too, just kind of get lay of the land as far as what, I am currently at 29% in this game. I've gotten all 120 shrines. I have all the memories. I have the, what do they call it? The Tunic of the Wild. Tunic of the Wild, which, have you guys seen that?
I've heard of it.
It's basically this game's version of the Green Hero Tunic. You know, you can get all the different ones from the amiibos. This one you can only get by getting all 120 shrines. And it's basically a sort of modernized version of the original NES outfit. Like it's kind of a little bit more detailed and stuff like that. It's the straps are more looking like real straps instead of simplified ones. But anyways, so that's kind of where I'm at. You guys, Jesse, you said you've beaten it once. Marty, what are you at?
I'm sitting at 17% right now.
Okay.
Have done somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 shrines.
Okay.
And about 20 to 30 Korok seeds, and beat Ganon once with all the Divine Beasts.
Cool.
Where do they see the percentage?
So if you go on your map, once you've beaten the game and you've got the little star by your save file, in the bottom left corner, it'll have the time and the temperature, and it also has a percentage out of 100%.
Oh, okay, that's what that was. So I'm at 26.46%.
I think that's pretty skewed, though. I think a really high percentage of those is Korok seeds. Right, like,
yeah.
If I have all of the shrines, I've done quite a few of the, like, most of the side quests, and I'm still at like 30%. I'm not interested in doing all the Korok seeds either. Like, that's just not interesting to me. So
yeah, I'm up to I think 95 shrines, 93 Korok seeds. I think I did like 41 side quests out of the 70 ish.
Yeah.
So I didn't look at how many shrine quests I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the interesting part of this is that the official guidebook for the game, which was published by a company called Piggyback, in both paperback and hardback editions, says that they include this page in completion rate. It says every relevant objective that you fulfill will contribute approximately 0.08%.
So I think that actually may also include, like, have you visited all of the places on the map?
There's a list of things they give here. Every shrine.
Yeah.
Every boss. Every Korok seed and every location you discover with its name appearing on the bottom of the screen and on the in-game map.
Wow.
So if I'm thinking boss here, am I thinking right that that's going around and killing every Hinox once?
I think so,
every Moldugo once?
How many? Yeah, those are only in the desert, right?
The Moldugo worms are in the desert.
They're basically like tremors is what those are.
Yeah, the ones that you can hear the Jaws theme playing in the background when they start following you.
Yeah.
Dude, those things are ridiculous.
Those things are scary. You know what the trick is with those is you just throw a bomb.
Me in two hits, and I have 17 hearts.
Yeah,
I didn't have any problem with them. I think I tackled them is I would get to a high place, I would see where he's going, I throw a bomb in the ground, then he would go up and eat the bomb.
Yeah, that's right. How I do it.
Then I detonate it, and then now he's stunned, and then I go nuts.
The hard part was figuring that out. You know, and so in doing so, you've kind of revealed that these are the Dodongos of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I looked at how many shrine quests I've done. I've only done 26. So I'm missing 16 of them, which is more than half of the shrines I'm missing.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that if you didn't pick up that shrine quest, then you may end up picking up a quest that you, as soon as you pick it up, it'll be like, oh, you've already beaten it.
That did happen to me once. The one with the seven goddesses. I think we talked about it briefly on like the first spoiler cast.
Right.
Yes, but I did that before I found the quest. When I talked to the person who gave me that quest, I just talked to her again, and then it was marked complete.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me a while ago, too. So, well, with this game, man, I got to say, one of the first things that I absolutely love about this game is the cast of characters in the game. And I think I've said this before with this as well, that none of these characters are super deep, but they have this great, it kind of reminds me of like a Joss Whedon movie where everybody's kind of they're relying on certain, you know, very quickly, you know, okay, this is who this character is. They're not going to stray too much from this personality that they establish very early on, you know? So like you've got like Urbosa, who the Gerudo, who is like this sort of matriarchal strong female character. You've got Rivali, who's like the cocky Rito guy who is kind of a prick, right?
You've got not kind of.
Yeah, right.
He is.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
he's,
so
he's a jerk.
You've got like Daruk, who's like the big brother sort of figure. And he's just like and like very quickly you know who these characters are. They all kind of have their moment to shine. They've all got their thing there. You've got some animal, you know, some like Zora human cross romance stuff going on that you probably wouldn't. I never thought you'd. It was an interesting direction to take that character. I was like, whoa, really? I never expected them to do that in a Nintendo game. Like to have Link basically have his romantic interest be a fish girl, which I thought was interesting. But I love the characters. I love their ability to really like you care about all of these characters, right?
Yeah, and you do, and it's incredible to me how even disjointed the story is, you still end up caring about them. You know, like if you find the memories out of sequence, which probably a lot of people are doing,
yeah,
it still makes you care about these characters, and. Just the first thought that I had kind of in like after seeing these memories is, man, what took them so long to do this?
Yeah.
You know, like, I get that, like, in Skyward Sword, there was a lot more storytelling elements as well to Zelda that there weren't in the past. But, man, like, there's so much rich history here that makes me want to know more and explore more and, yeah. you know, and just see more of this world.
And yeah. the stories that we get from the memories, you know, are, of course, 100 years ago. So there was very little current day story going on. Everything yeah. is from 100 years ago.
And it's so interesting, like, to see the characters, again, most of the characters that are fleshed out are dead, right? And so mm-hmm. so I think there's so much potential here as well for future DLC and the story stuff that we know is coming. In fact, if you have seen the quote unquote true ending to the game, they almost tease like maybe what's happening in the future. Right. Like with I don't know. Have you guys both seen that? Have you?
I have not yet seen the best ending.
No.
OK, so basically, in order to get the best ending, you have to.
I'm geared up to do so. I'm next time I kill him, I'll get it. Yeah. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah. So like afterwards, I think with the non-perfect ending, you see all of the dead people flying in the distance. Right. Is basically how that works, like above the castle. I won't spoil that for you. I think that's maybe something that everybody's working towards. But they tease potentially at least what may be happening, and it's not really that big of a spoiler. But
What I ended up doing was I got my 12th memory was the one in the castle as I was exploring it and figuring things out, and so I had the 12 memories when then I bumped into Ganon and killed him. So I haven't gone back to Impa yet, and then I realized, oh, there's a 13th memory that I have to find.
Yeah.
To finish that arc. That
she doesn't give you a photo of. You kind of have to snap it yourself.
Right.
And that one to me was a little harder to find because it's in a place that's pretty wide, you know, and it yeah. could be anywhere. It's in the middle of that field right next to the first horse barn that you find.
Yeah.
The first stable you find. Yeah. I'm going to be honest, like, I want to go back and talk about the characters for just a minute. That, like, I even love, like, the fleshed out minor characters. Like, one of my favorite characters in the game, actually my favorite side quest so far, has been the Tarrytown side quest.
Oh, I haven't finished that yet.
I'm just starting that one. I need to find
basically, the what it starts out as, if you're listening and haven't done this, is there's a house in Hatano Village that is being demolished. It's right. If you go to the shrine that's there and go down the hill to the left, there'll be a bridge and you can actually buy that house from the contractor. And that starts this ridiculously expensive and long side quest that basically leads to you building a village, in the Akala region, from a, very interesting contractor named Bolson,
who has an obsession with his own name.
He has it. Well, yeah, they all like Bolson Construction Agency. You find out anybody who's hired by the Bolson Construction Agency has to have the last name or have the ending of their name has to end in S-O-N.
Yeah.
And there is a really Zach, since you haven't finished it, Jesse, since you haven't finished it, I'm not going to spoil this.
I think I got to the point where it's like, I think I'm at like the Rito one or something.
Okay. So like you get,
I'm still trying to find the Goron that he wants.
Basically what you start doing is, you do everything that you need to do to your house and they send out Hudson to go build, to go up north and build a town in the Akala region. And when you go find him, he starts asking you for bundles of wood and to go find these people and bring them in, you know? And so eventually like one type of every person that you have or every race that you've encountered is living in Tarrytown and has set up shop doing something. But eventually Bolson and his, the other guy that's working with him, Carson, I think, or Carlson, they moved to Tarrytown as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
And, there is, it's just, it's actually, I just read about this a little while ago about how it's probably a lot of people are saying it's the best side quest in the whole game.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that this is up there with the couple's mask quest from Majora's Mask.
It's like there's this sense of hope in the midst of this calamity in this quest, and Link helps kind of bring that about. And it has a lot of funny dialogue. So be careful when you're going through there that you don't skip over some of the stuff, because it's really, in a way, is where you see a lot of the humor in this game shine through. And there is a lot of humor.
There's a lot of humor in this game. Absolutely.
But I love that quest. And I love how they take these characters like Bolson and Hudson and Ronson, who's a Gerudo, because you'll just go through, you know, the game, and you'll meet people, and they'll be like, oh, you know, you'll see the little red exclamation part above their head, you know, and you'll meet them, and they'll be like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. A lot of those people that you've met, they end up in Tarrytown.
That's so funny.
And tell you. And you know, it kind of like doing it at the end of the game after I'd beaten Ganon, you know, when I'm going back and I'm trying to complete everything.
Yeah.
It was kind of sweet to be taken back into a lot of those areas that I hadn't been in before.
Yeah.
Or I'd already been in, and now like I'm discovering new things about them, like finding a new shrine or finding something I didn't see before, because maybe I didn't have like the appropriate armor, or I didn't have. But now I'm back, and it, you know, the shrine thing starts going off, and I'm like, oh yeah, hey, over there, there's a shrine in the middle of that lava pit. Let's go get that.
Yeah, man. Well, this game is it's so good. Like I think I said this before, but like I can't imagine, or I can't remember the last time I played a game and immediately wanted to start a new save file, right? And just keep playing in it and play through the game again. I am excited, like I did by the DLC. I'm excited to see what they do there. Man, it's just so good. Like the characters are good. One thing I was going to say, if you haven't done this yet, once you get collect all of the memories, and if you're really not wanting to like go through and really, you know, search them, the IGN has an amazing map on their website that's interactive. You can scroll and like zoom in and all that kind of stuff. It has all of the shrines on it, has all the memories, everything. And so if that's something that you want to do and that sort of fits your play style, then you know, you can go check that out. But once you have gotten all of the memories, I would recommend that you go and actually, and you can either do this on the Switch or you can go and watch. I think some people have cut these on YouTube, but actually watch them chronologically as they're listed in your log, because I'm pretty sure that's actually like,
that's the canon timeline.
That is the canon timeline. Exactly. And you can kind of see, it's really cool to see this sort of arc that Zelda goes through, as you go through that storyline, because Zelda early on is, you know, almost distrusting of Link and how she's very hesitant to accept his help and all those sorts of things. And then over time there, you know, things happen where she kind of warms up to him. And then eventually, you know, at the end there, saves his life. Right. Which is basically all of it. I think it's a really interesting way of delivering a story, is that the core story of this game all leads up to the point where the game starts, right? Where the game ends, like when you see that final cutscene with those memories, you're seeing the beginning of the game, right? Like it's almost like it's almost like Memento, if you've ever seen that movie, right? Mm-hmm. Where with Guy Pearce. It's like you're suddenly at the end of the game, suddenly you understand everything that happened and everything that led up to the very beginning of the game. And I think that's so, it's such a cool thing that they do with the narrative and the story in that. I think it's very, very cool. And I really enjoyed that. So since
we're talking about this, I think this would be a good time to mention this. Can we really talk about how this game is actually about Zelda?
Oh, it totally is. Yeah.
And not really about Link at all.
Yeah.
I mean, by proxy, it is about Link. I mean, you're playing him, and it's, well, he is the one who will, you know, get the sword that seals the darkness and finally banish Ganon. But he's not the main character.
Yeah.
Zelda is really the one who is at the center of this. And it's not just as, Zelda is the magic MacGuffin you have to go save to complete the game. You know, she is a fully fleshed out character with real fears and hopes and frustrations for like one of the first times in the series.
The scene with her and the king, where the king confronts her, was like one of the few times that I can remember it within the Zelda franchise that was really just like powerfully emotional. You know what I mean? Like where it's just like, man, like that they were able to really deliver that story moment. And you really feel the turmoil and the, you know, the ambivalence that Zelda is feeling of like, oh man, like I know. And I mean, there's so many interesting themes as well. I mean, like as far as like faith and doubt and like I've devoted my entire life to this and why is this not working? And, you know, all of those sorts of things that is so like, it's so interesting. Like it's just like the themes are really interesting and cool as you go through that. Like I really enjoyed it a lot.
Well, yeah. And like there's the one memory where she is she's in the spring.
Yeah.
And she's trying and she's trying and she's trying and she's praying and she's praying. And that one even was a very powerful emotion, you know, I mean, emotional moment.
Yeah.
There's just some really like good storytelling in this game. And I was talking to somebody, one of my buddies who's also playing this game. And I said, you know what I really love about this game is that it puts you even more into the shoes of Link because you're finding out about this game or you're finding out about this story as he does.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh yeah, I knew that all along. Like there's things that like, as he's having these realizations, you are too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like, you know, three or four of those memories where I agree that she, you know, those very powerful emotional storytelling. But there was like another three or four other ones where I thought like the overall performance fell flat. Like it really wasn't sold on
with her.
Yeah, she looks like the voice actor phoned it in that day or something.
Yeah, there's the scene. So, there's the
it's
one
up and down.
Yeah, there's the one on the hilltop that I'm particularly thinking of where she gets mad at him because he has kind of followed her to the shrine or something like that. And I remember thinking that one was like, that was like, I see what you're going for, but it didn't really land like I'd hoped. There's a few moments like that for sure. But another one of my favorite characters in this game, as I'm thinking about that, there's the scene on the, which one is it? The camel, right? It's like a nighttime and like Zelda is asleep and it's between Urbosa and Link, and like Urbosa as a character, again, she's like that real sort of like very matriarchal, like taking care of Zelda and like really like mentoring her almost in a way. I really liked that the relationship between all of them. Urbosa especially, I think that she was probably the strongest of the four. What would you call them? Not guardians. What champions?
Champions.
Yeah, I think she was at least for me, she was the strongest. The other three, maybe not so much. The like Daruk especially was like the Goron. The voice acting was not great with him. I don't know if it. I really liked his character.
I will agree with that. Like
they needed to find somebody
who was great.
Yeah, Mipha was pretty good.
Play Revali, I mean, the emotion of superiority or the air of superiority carried over really well with that. But
yeah. They needed to get somebody for Daruk who maybe had a little bit more gravelly of a voice. You know what I mean? Like something that was a little bit rougher or something. The voice acting wasn't super great, but it
felt a little strained. It felt like he was straining, you know,
like he was a little outside of his range maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, not to say that he like, for what it was, I thought it was fine, but,
I do like the fact that they had like, you know, Link of 100 years ago had his champions.
Yeah.
And then Link of the present has his champions.
Yeah.
You and, know, like some of those ones were mirrored.
Yeah, like there was, and I've been, my son has been trying to play through this game, and he's six, and so basically I've been playing through this game again.
Yeah,
And he's
my 10-year-old son's doing the same.
And he's,
hey,
he's
Dad, like, can you help me? Hey, I need
you,
help.
Can you help me get to the next shrine? Can you help me get to the next divine beast? How do I
right
get
right now? It's I'm in the camel, and I'm in Va. What is it? Va Naburus.
Yeah,
which is the dungeon that I hated the most.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know how to do it. And I just keep going, well, I don't know either. I don't know either. I forgot. Yeah. I forgot how to do it. I'm sorry. He's like, well, I can't do it. And I was like, well, go, you can go look up a YouTube video or, you know, follow this, read this walkthrough.
Yeah.
Because I legitimately, that is the, I despise that part of it.
Yeah. I think I remember not liking that one either.
I'm just going to say it. I hate the Gerudo section of the game. Mm. It's awful.
It's not like, great.
From the minute you walk in that desert, until you get Va Naburus and the boss, they can,
yeah.
That's where I found out
and that is fire. Awful. I like somebody like at Nintendo was like, you know what's not in this game? We've got shield surfing and flying and all kinds of horse riding and yeah, you know it's gonna be great. You know what else it needs? It needs sneaking. No, yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's
oh, it doesn't.
Yeah, the stealth, it, the that, stealth mechanics.
It took
in this
me
game
a while to get past that one.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's yeah, I think you're right. It's the, and I think that on the topic of even just the divine beasts in general, I am kind of, I just finished going through the lizard one, the salamander. For the second time, I'm like right at the end boss with my son. And that one was pretty interesting, I think. Like the fact that you're turning the whole thing on its side. But for the most part, like the divine beasts as dungeons or as temples, right? Because that's what they are. They're replacements for the temples. I think I was not super excited by them because they were not really themed very well. Right, like in like Ocarina of Time, you're very much like, oh, here's the forest temple and the fire temple and the water temple, and I think they could have gone, and there's no reason not to have it be this way. If you have the fire salamander divine beast, for example, there's no reason not to have like maybe some cool fire energy stuff that's going through the temple, and having some of the puzzles be fire themed and all of that sort of stuff. But they all were so samey that by the third and fourth one, I was like, oh, more of this. Okay. Okay. Well, this time I'm turning on my side instead of raising the trunk of the elephant. Like,
see, yeah. I loved that. And I think that it was a necessary departure because you've got the shrines that do have some of those things, but like Zelda, I'm just be honest, like I love Ocarina of Time just as much as anybody else. But when you have Ocarina of Time and then Twilight Princess is kind of the same. And then Wind Waker, like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to find the three jewels and they're going to be green and blue and red.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get the Master Sword and then I'm going to go do a couple more dungeons and then I get to fight Ganon. It gotten a little formulaic.
I guess.
And so I think for them to actually be able to take that risk and say, you know, this is not going to be some like epic mountain to climb. It's just going to be another part of your adventure.
Yeah.
You know, and what I loved about it was that if you think about like, try thinking about it this way, and it might change because it did me when I started thinking about it this way, that the dungeons in this game, if that's what you want to call them, or the beasts, is not so much about what happens when you get inside them. It's about the approach to it as well.
Yeah.
So you've got like this two-part, you've got like that's this true. Really epic like action sequence, which we haven't seen in Zelda really. You know, like I'm going to fly over this thing and shoot the cannons with bomb arrows and stuff like that. You know, you've not really seen that type of like Link is on the attack and he's fighting something gigantic, you know? You've got that, and then it's like, then you shut it down, and then you're inside. So if you look at it as like the halfway point when you actually get inside the beast, it kind of changes to me. It kind of changed my mind a little bit.
Yeah, I think my maybe to clarify maybe a little bit more of what my issue was, because I agree with you. I think that that's definitely the gameplay mechanics and sort of the structure of the story and all of that. I think those changes were great. My issue actually lies more in just the art direction of the Divine Beasts.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah. Where okay, they're,
I see what you're saying.
The now. Color palette's all the same, and basically they look like the interior of all four of the Divine Beasts is very similar. And well, that was my.
They're all similar technology, similar to the Guardians.
Right, yeah, but at the same time, if you've got one who's very clearly based on water and one that's very clearly based on fire, you know what I mean? Like having incorporating that more into the design and the color palette and all of that of the Divine Beast, I think would have done more to make them different from each other, I guess. So it really feels like, okay, I've kind of done this before, but it's different in this way. And the only way that they were really different was, okay, well, the bird one tilts at a 45-degree angle, and the salamander tilts at a 90-degree angle, right? Like, I don't know. They were not different enough, I guess, for me. So, but yeah. Having said that, this is still one of the best games I've ever played. So, yeah, I don't know, Jesse. What about you? Like, what are your other thoughts about this game? How do you are, but more than anybody else, you are the Zelda person in this. Like, since the beginning of the show, you are like, oh yeah, no, I'm playing Twilight Princess for like the eighth time, or I'm playing through Skyward Sword for the sixth time. Like, how did this game land for you?
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I'm not 100% sure yet if I'm going to be calling this my favorite Zelda game, but it's definitely up there. It's definitely a chance to still be. I want to play through more of it, but I think I've said this before. I've tried playing every Zelda game. The only three that I have not completed are the two Oracle games and Triforce Heroes.
You haven't played either of the Oracle games?
Not to completion. I've tried several times, but never finished them.
Dude, you got it. We
started this. When we started the show, I haven't played through
the Oracle either. Games came out around the time where I was a little bit lax in my video gaming.
Mm, your dark days. Everyone has them. The days in the wilderness.
Like, they're out on the virtual console, but I've never really picked them up.
Oh, dude. If I have to suggest one, I mean, I have played through to completion Oracle of Seasons twice. It's really good. I really like Oracle of Seasons.
I bought both of them on Virtual Console, and I just never sat down and tried to play through them all.
I think the mechanic of the Rod of Seasons is really, really fun. I really like it's, especially once you kind of unlock all of them and you go through and you're cycling through the seasons, and like different things happen at different times. So you walk across the lake when it's winter, and then you know all that sort of stuff. Anyways.
Yeah. So I think one of my favorite side characters that we haven't talked about yet is Cass.
Ah, yeah.
The accordion. Whenever that music plays, I'm like, yeah. I turn up the volume. I go, "Hey, Matthew," and he's like, "Oh no."
Nice.
And in fact, a few weeks ago, IGN's show, they always start the show with a piece of Nintendo music, and they started it with that Cass's accordion.
Yeah, here we go.
Yep.
Oh, so good, dude. I could sit and just listen to that on loop. In fact, we might do that for a second. Anyway,
there's been a number of his shrine quests that I haven't solved yet. One of them actually started pissing me off because I know what I need to do. I just don't know how to do it yet. Is with the one with the winds and the rocks. You can see the wind streams going through. You had to blow up some a loose wall. Then he could see the wind blowing through it, and then he had to paraglide through them and ended up landing on the target.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, the one with the blood moon was really annoying. Just because you had to wait on a blood moon.
Well, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't even, like... The thing was is that for the long... Like, for that particular one, I probably slept overnight, like, over and over and over and over again for, like, 2 weeks, and it didn't happen. And I was like, oh, screw this. I'll just remember that next time there's a blood moon, I will quickly come over here, and that's what I ended up
with. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, not only did you have to be there at the blood moon, you had to be naked. I mean, you had to have all your equipment off and all everything else. And yeah. So like there's this pad and it's up by the Highland Tower. It's in that area. So there's like these giant mushroom like flat top things.
And outside. That's where he lives.
I remember that.
He lives there.
Yeah. So like number one thing is that one mushroom is really hard to get on top of, even with having a whole extra ring of stamina. So you have to do like Revali's Gale to get on top of it. You get up there and the shrine won't even light up or anything until you talk to him. You can't get the quest. And basically what it is like he talks about the moon of red, you know, and how you have to face it stripped down to who you truly are. And so if you'll go down there when the blood moon's out, like the pedestal will start to glow. And if you step on it and in it like that, 2 or 3 hour window that the blood moon is active, a shrine will rise up, and then you go in there, and it's a really simple shrine. Right, it's not anything bad.
I think I climbed out on top of a few of those mushroom structures, but I didn't get to the top to the topmost one.
My frustration right now is that I have the barbarian helmet and I have the barbarian leggings, and I can't find the middle part. Like I haven't encountered that shrine yet.
It's in the other maze. So there's three mazes.
Oh, it's in the other maze. Okay.
Yeah, so there's three mazes, and it's the so that's how that works.
One of them is there's one in Akala, there's one in the north, in the frozen north.
And there's one in the just east of the Gerudo Desert in the mountains.
Yeah, I ended up needing a walkthrough to solve that one. I solved the first two on my own.
I still haven't been to the Forgotten Temple.
Which one's that? Forgotten Temple. Oh, yeah.
Where there's like five guardians at the front.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I've prepared because I went and bought the ancient shield after I heard that it reflects guardian beams without having to press A.
Yeah. Do you have the armor yet?
Oh, I have it all. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got, so.
Yeah. I'm excited about it too. Like I just got very surprised. I got the Dark Link costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that too.
Oh, that's so cool. And I love like people's reactions when you walk up to them in it too. You know, they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Then they settle down.
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't have any of the amiibo costumes yet. And like, it's just because I forget to scan my amiibo.
Yeah, I have the cap of time. That's the only thing I have.
And like every time that I've scanned them, I always just get a treasure chest. Like I want like the Bow of Twilight. I want all that stuff, but it ain't happening.
Yeah, I think I've got most of them actually for the ones that I, what do I have? Let's see. So I have the Tunic of the Wild, which is the 100 and whatever shrines. Trouser, they're the one of the Hero, which is from the 8-bit Link. The outfit of Twilight, which is from the Smash Brothers Link, and the Wind, the one of the Wind, which is from.
Do you ever get like Trousers of the Wild?
Yeah, so there's the Cap of the Cap of the Wind, Tunic of the Wind, Trousers of the Wind, and so then there's a Cap of Twilight, Tunic of Twilight, Trousers of Twilight. Yeah, so that like the cap, the tunic, and the trousers of everything. It's really funny if you have an eight bit Link and you get the Trousers of the Hero. They're tiny little shorty shorts. Like they're like if you have a tunic on, it looks like he's not wearing any pants.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. So
yeah, the pieces of gear that I haven't gotten yet are the Zora helm and the lightning helm.
Oh yeah, I gotta go back and get the lightning helm too.
Yeah, that one's a beast. The thunder helm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that one. The Zora Helm is... Where's that one? Oh, it's just north of the Zora place. There's a little place called Toto Lake.
I figured it was near there because I saw the Warn stat storyboard, and you know if it's missing a letter, it still tells you how many letters in. So I'm like, oh, it's a lake with four letters in it. So I figured it's there, but I haven't found it yet. Yeah. I haven't looked around enough to find it.
Yeah. So that's
it's
yeah
near that lake near ruins mm-hmm. is what I got from the story.
Okay, cool. So I don't know, like I'm trying to think what else we could talk about here. Let's talk about the final sort of about Ganon, right? Like, so like talking about Ganon, what did you guys think about the fact that Ganon is first off, we don't ever see Ganondorf, right? That he never becomes Ganondorf. He never becomes a human version of himself. It's always just giant pig Ganon, or calamity Ganon, as they call him. How did you guys feel about that? How did you feel about the villain in general in this game?
Well, you know, it's funny that I think that in this game that we actually see more of Ganon than we've ever seen in a game. And what I mean by that is that you actually fight Ganon multiple times before you actually get to the final boss.
Yeah. In fact,
are Ganon.
Yeah. In fact, if you don't defeat the divine beasts, then whichever Ganons you do not defeat within the divine beasts, you will have to fight them at the end. So if you basically rush the end of this game, I haven't watched any sort of speed runs or anything, but basically you have to fight five bosses in a row. Oh, well, I guess six. If you count like Dark Beast game. So you've got to beat Water Blight, Fire Blight, Thunder Blight, Wind Blight, Ganon, then Calamity Ganon, then Dark Beast Ganon.
Yeah, and that's a lot. Like that's a whole lot to take on at once, because Calamity Ganon is a beast.
Yeah.
Like if you need two things that I really feel like you've got to have in that fight. Number one, you need to have those four divine beasts, because that's going to knock him down halfway.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the other thing with. is that Calamity, if you haven't done those divine beasts, you don't get that. Right.
Right.
You've got to do the whole thing.
The second thing is that if you don't know how to reflect Guardian Blasts by the time you get to this point of the game, you're toast.
Yeah. Yeah, or you better dang well save those.
I still have a hard time with the timing on that.
You better, either that or you better just save your reflector shield thing. The Daruk's
protection. That's right.
Right? Like that's the
only way to do so, it. You know, though he's throughout the whole game, I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get a little more story. Like, I get that, you know, 100 years ago, the Calamity showed up. But to me, what that's saying is that 100 years ago, that exact same creature, that exact same Calamity attacked Hyrule. You know, so I want to know how that happened. And I'm hoping that might be what the DLC is.
Can you imagine if we get like some sort of really cool I'm actually thinking that it's more likely that they don't do this, but that the DLC shows us maybe like some sort of like a Calamity Ganondorf or something, where it's like his humanoid form.
Like what caused him to make that sacrifice? Because that's mentioned, is that he has made the sacrifice for ultimate power, that he gave up his human form and gave up his ability to resurrect. Am I right?
Yeah. So this is, so
there is no resurrection.
Theoretically.
Right, that's what I got from it. Yeah. So because every version of Ganon has been a reborn, which ultimately was demise.
Sure. Right.
So
like this is like the ultimate final Ganon form.
So this is like the end of the timeline.
Yeah, this is the end of the timeline. So you've got this moment where you're fighting this like amalgamation of the divine beast blights, right? Mm-hmm. And it's super creepy. Like that thing is creepy.
Yeah.
It's like Spider Ganon. Like with bald head and like his hair is like his beard, and He's got like four sword arms and all kinds of stuff. Then you, if you manage to beat him, it switches to the actual pig form Ganon fight.
Yeah.
Which
is pretty easy.
It was pretty easy, but it was also super fun.
Yeah, it was.
It was,
you know,
epic.
It's funny. It was funny because the first time I did it, I just had like some random horse. Second time I did it, when I was going to do my, after I had collected all of the memories, I was on the gigantic horse. I just happened to have the gigantic horse out of the stable. And so I'm riding. Have you seen the giant horse? Like the
I have the quest to find it, but I haven't found it.
With like
yet.
The orange mane or whatever. Anyways, they called it Nightmare because, get it, mare is like a horse. Anyways, so me and my giant horse Nightmare are riding around, and like this horse, the thing with that horse is that you can't make it run faster. Right? Like it reaches that sort of like speed. And then
I heard it has no boosts.
Yeah, it has no boosts. So I'm just like leisurely jaunting around this Dark Beast Ganon on this enormous horse. And I'm like, well, this is unfortunate. But
the horse I had was the white one that was the descendant of Zelda's horse from 100 years ago.
Right. That's cool.
Of course, with the royal, I forget what they call it, the saddle,
the harness or whatever.
And
which reminds me, by the way, of the fact that your horses can die, and I accidentally killed Epona back a while ago. But then I found the horse fairy, and the horse fairy.
I have not found a horse fairy yet.
The
I've
horse
heard
fairy.
Of it.
I've not found a horse.
The horse fairy.
Fairy
is like it's like a great fairy, but it looks like a strange combination of like a horse and a like voodoo witch doctor. It's freaking weird, and it brings horses back to life. So it's super weird. But yeah, there is a horse fairy that can bring your horses back to life. So Epona has been risen from the dead, and which is great. But
so apparently that giant horse is Ganon's horse.
It looks like it. Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's definitely. In fact, I think I may have. It doesn't let you change its. When you go and put it in the stable, it will not let you change the harness or whatever, or the saddle. So.
Will it let you change its name? Like.
Yeah, it will. I don't know what that horse's name is.
Did you find the stall horse?
Stall horse.
The skeleton horse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tried to dock it actually, or I tried to stable it, and they wouldn't take it. I have not
seen this yet, but I have heard someone from IGN talk about it, and it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, it's so funny. Like yeah, because basically it's like they're just like, oh, get that crazy monster away from here. What are you doing? There was another one. It's funny to try and like I tried to stable a bear there one time because you can ride bears. I tried to stable the Lord of the Mountain one time. You know that? Have you seen the Lord of the Mountain?
No.
Okay, so have you seen the glowing green bunnies that if you shoot them they bleed rupees?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a mountain that at nighttime, I think it's just west of Hyrule Field. There's a mountain that glows green, that you can see it in the middle of the night. But if you go up there at night, it is there's a bunch of those bunnies there. It's like where they live, and there's this pond, and in the middle of it is this weird looking, glowing, bluish green. I want to say it looks kind of like a goat basically, but it has like 10 eyes on its face and huge horns.
Wow.
And so I fly in and jump on it and tame it and ride it there, and they're just like the stable guy's just like, oh, what are you doing? Why have you brought, is that the Lord of the Mountain? Are you crazy? You're gonna get us all cursed or something like that. And it was it's like, what have you done riding this holy creature onto our property? Like, get out of here. So
I think it's funny that like everybody, it's almost like they're part of this game is that everybody's in on the joke and Link is not.
Yeah.
Like everybody knows everything about this world. They're like the Lord of the Mountain, you know? And they're like, what are you doing? Do you not know? You're going to kill us all.
Yeah, totally. Right on. Well, hey, anything else, guys, as we kind of wrap up our spoiler talk here?
I mean, I think it's cool that, you know, we're a month into this game. We're obviously still finding brand new stuff all the time, you know, and I think the DLC is only going to bring more to that.
Oh, I'm so
and,
excited.
I actually linked you guys, or I'm actually going to here in just a minute. There is somebody who has gotten into the source code of the game and has gotten to places they're not supposed to yet. And this was actually up on Reddit just a little while ago, with all kinds of weird looking places and things. And they think that it may be the DLC already. I don't know.
Games like that normally have like dev rooms and test rooms that, you know, will still exist. Just maybe it aren't accessible. That's maybe what he stumbled
into. Would it be like a whole section of the map?
Normally not, but again, this is a different type of game, so they might have a different type of definitely but has I think capacity like, for it.
I will have to say that, you know, after so many hours playing this game, I'm over 50 hours. I know some of, like, one of our Patreon guys, Richard, I think, isn't he like over 200 hours into the game?
Oh, I think 250, I think.
250. He's 250 and he's still not complete. He still has Korok seeds to find. I'm just going to go out and say this. Two statements I want to make. Number one, this is the best video game of all time. There's no question in my mind. It is the best video game that's ever been made. Number two, if it does not win Game of the Year this year, we know the gaming media is biased. I'm sorry. I don't see anything else coming out this year that is in the scope. Sorry.
Mario Odyssey? I can't see.
I hope it is, but if not, then what? I'm talking any system. I'm not just talking Switch.
No, yeah, absolutely.
That, like, tell me a game that does what it's doing better than Zelda.
Yeah.
Frame rate issues and all. I don't care.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think you're right. Well, and here's the thing is sort of my wrap up thoughts about this game is I have always seen the Zelda formula or the Zelda franchise. And I've always felt like I've been looking at it from the outside and experiencing it from the outside. And Not to say that I haven't played it. Like, I've played, I've played through Ocarina of Time. I've played through Majora's Mask. I've played through some of Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword. But in just about every case, I have felt like I was missing something. Like, I was not enjoying it as much as other people were. That I was not, like, even recently with the HD release of Twilight Princess, I felt like, it just feels like there's a little bit of a slog here. The only Zelda game that I have not experienced this with was Wind Waker. And I think this is absolutely the most fun I have had with Zelda since Wind Waker. And I would say this is better than Wind Waker because I really felt like I got sucked into it and really enjoyed it. And the world is just so much bigger, you know, but it hits all of those Wind Waker notes while also, like, basically it's just so good. I could just sit here and gush more, but yeah, anyway.
Well, before we wrap things up, I want to talk about one enemy that scares the bejeebers out of me initially, but now that I finally know how to kill him, it is extremely satisfying, those Lynels.
Ah.
Because, you know, the Lynels were in the original Zelda game and then pretty much fell off the face of the series up until now again. And, you know, even the first time you came across a Lynel in the original Zelda, it was most likely on your way to get the white sword, which means you still had the wooden sword, which means you were going to get your clock cleaned.
Yeah.
And this definitely gives you the experience of getting your clock cleaned the first time you find a Lynel.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that first Lynel, like you walk up that hill, it's like, oh, go up there and get those shock arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It took me a while to realize, oh, wait a minute. There's the ones that he's shooting at me are not staying there once he's shot me. I was like, maybe I'll just run around and wait for him to they'll hit the ground and then I'll just pick him up. Nope, that's not working.
Nope.
Yeah. No, that's funny. Yeah, actually, I don't really know how to beat them yet. Oh man. Yeah. Wow.
So share with us there, Jesse. Yeah, what is the mystical way to defeat a Lynel?
So, okay, the strategy I've been using is, you know, a lot of the perfect dodge to.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can, when he runs further back to get a charge in, try to get some arrows to the head. You'll be like two or three of them will stun him. And if you're, sometimes you'll have the opportunity to mount them, and when you do, then you'll be able to kind of like stab him in the back.
Yeah. Just
for whatever weapon you have.
There's one area that I think it's the silver. Is it the silver silver main Lynel? Are those the strongest ones?
Yes.
Yeah. Like right on the like just east of the what are those mountains called? The ones in the top, the northwest. Anyways.
Oh yeah, there's one up there.
There's one up there.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I think that was the first one I actually killed.
Oh wow.
And he will take you out quick.
And he's also got a really awesome bow. If you can I took him down one time and he shoots 5 shots at once, which is amazing.
Okay, I didn't get that one then. The one I got was a 3 shooter.
Yeah, which is amazing because so if you're using like a bomb arrow, it uses one arrow. But it shoots 5. So you shoot 5 bomb arrows by only using a single one. It's awesome. It's really cool. So
the part that killed me about the Lynel was going into the castle, which, by the way, somebody's like, oh, yeah, you just walk into the castle and there's Ganon. So, you know, I get ready to go. I've got my Master Sword. I've got my 4 Divine Beasts. I walk into the castle. And I'm like, all right, where is he? Is he game glitch? You know, so I start walking through the castle. And you're following the path, right? You know, and you follow the path around, and then all of a sudden you go into like the first tower, and the gates shut, and a freaking white mane Lynel appears out of nowhere.
Oh,
I'm like, what's going on? Yeah, that's the only one I've killed. But that, I mean, that's basically what it is. You're perfect dodge until it's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of went around Lynel hunting this way and get parts. Body parts to upgrade gear. So I went back up to the area where you collected the shock arrows earlier and killed that one. I think I found I killed the one of the trap rooms in the castle. I hear there's 2, but I haven't found the second one yet. I think it was like 2 or 3 others I've killed. I want to go to the Colosseum next because I know there's one there.
Did you go? I think if you go into the dungeon, is it the dungeon that has the Hylian shield in it? Have you found that yet?
I haven't found
it. It is, yeah, the lockup.
Yeah.
You got to go down there.
Yeah, there's definitely go in there. Yeah, because
I know there's an armory somewhere in there because I saw my son playing it. And as soon as he started the Ganon fight, I'm like, nope, I don't want to watch yet.
Yeah.
But he saw a weapons rack that had like 5 pieces of gear on it that I have never seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you guys taking the pictures for the in-game catalog?
I started to more because the time comes when you're trying to upgrade some of your armor. Like when I was trying to upgrade the Hero of the Wild armor or whatever, where you have to find like rare beetles and you can use your sensor thing, your Sheikah slate that, you know, it tells you where a shrine is nearby, but you can use it to, you can attune it to any item that you've taken a picture of that's in your compendium. And so I would like taking a picture of this weird beetle and then having to go to specific spawn points and have it kind of lead me to specific places where these beetles are. That's where I've used it the most. I haven't been trying to fill the whole thing, though.
Yeah, I've got a lot of gaps still, but I think I got most of the pictures in, including every all six Ganon forms.
Yeah.
I even got a picture of the light bow when I the small opportunity I had to take a picture of it.
Will it keep that, though?
Yeah.
It will?
You'll keep the picture. Yeah, because if you think, get the picture and beat Ganon so you get the star, but in the safe state,
yeah,
you'll keep all those.
Oh, okay, cool. Very cool. Right on. Well, hey, you know what, guys? I think that about does it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. We'd love to hear your thoughts about Zelda, though. Yeah, so, would. You know, even as spoilerific as they might be, maybe you found something that nobody else has found and you need to tell somebody about it. So how do they do that, Zach? How do they get in touch with us?
Absolutely. Well, they wait for the video to stop playing so we can get music. Wait. All right. There we go. So what you can do, of course, if you want to follow us on all the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can go to you can email us nintendodads@gmail.com. If you want to do any of the if you want to watch our videos and stuff, youtube.com/c/nintendodads is where you can find us there, twitch.tv/nintendodads. And of course, if you want to change the world, please, for goodness sakes, go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. We'll be back this coming Wednesday with another live show, like we do every week. And until then, everybody, you guys are amazing. Thank you for being such amazing listeners. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.